versus Rodriguez Cardenas. Mr. Willis.
Good morning, Judge. I represent Mr. Cardenas. This case grows out of a sentencing dispute. Mr. Cardenas filed a motion for adjustment based on his minor role in the offense. The issue here is whether the district court judge applied the amended standard for 3B1.2, and we argue that the district court judge did not. Prior to the amendment, this court's standard was that if a defendant was sentenced for the amount of drugs that he or she possessed, then there was no issue of relevant conduct. That is, the minor participation issue was foreclosed. This amendment, Amendment 635, allows minor participation or does not preclude minor participation for a defendant who is sentenced and held liable for the amount of drugs that he or she possessed or he or she was directly involved in. And in this case, Mr. Cardenas was basically a courier. Two individuals were indicted. Mr. Cardenas was a person who was delivered drugs from one place to another. He didn't negotiate, he didn't package, he had nothing to do with anything other than delivering drugs from one place to another. And he was promised that he would get paid, but the evidence suggests that he didn't even get paid for the two deliveries that he made.
Now, Mr. Willis, there really isn't any indication here, is there, that Judge Butler was unaware that she had the authority to grant him a minor role reduction?
Well, she was made aware during the course of the sentencing hearing. And even after she was made aware, she didn't do the counterfactual finding that the guidelines required, the counterfactual finding that the courts who had adopted this view earlier, like the 11th Circuit, 3rd Circuit, she didn't go through that kind of finding that I think is required to determine if the minor participation should be awarded or not. Additionally, the PSI, the pre-sentencing report, had recommended that the minor participation should be awarded to Mr. Cardenas as well. Mm-hmm. So the fact that she had at her disposal the PSI, we didn't brief the issue. We basically argued it at sentencing. There was no fact that she could rely on to point to, as in, say, in a Bromfield case in this court, where the factual findings was prior litigation, briefing, and the PSI. But there was no PSI factual finding that she could point to. So we argue that she didn't apply the right rule. She didn't apply the amendment. She basically applied the rule that the Seventh Circuit had been existing on until this change. And that rule is if you are sentenced for a certain amount of drugs, then minor participation is precluded. And we think that that's was improper application of the amendment. And we argue further, and I conclude with this, that the indictment alleged that there was conspiracy between Mr. Cardenas, his co-defendant, and others. And we argued that the others meant that it was a little broader than just those two individuals.
Could we say here that she clearly erred in finding that he was not a minor participant?
I think so, under the amendment. You know, for example, the Third Circuit remanded a case back because they didn't have the facts that the judge relied on in denying the motion. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you, Mr. Willis. Mr. Barnes?
May it please the court. My name is Jim Barnes, and I represent the United States. The defendant did not meet his burden of showing that he was entitled to a minor role reduction because he failed to put forth any facts that suggested that he was substantially less culpable than his co-defendant. The district court was fully aware of the amendment 635 to guideline 3B1.2. It was discussed, and she read it at the sentencing. And the district court did not commit clear error on these simple facts when she refused to apply the minor role reduction. It's important to note that in the amendment, the only fact that the defendant relied upon was the fact that he was a courier only held accountable for the drugs he delivered. The amendment made clear that it was not saying that those facts alone warranted the reduction, and it went on to say, we're not even suggesting that those alone are enough. It just said that someone under those facts should not, as a bright line rule, be precluded from presenting facts for the court's consideration that might warrant a minor role adjustment.
What instance do you think someone now qualifies as a minor participant? In other words, would this have been a different case in your view if he'd only delivered drugs once, or if he had served as the lookout instead of the courier?
Yes. I think that it's a weighing. You look at the individuals involved. What did they do? What did he do? In this case, it was very simple. There was two people. One guy negotiated two deliveries. One guy made two deliveries. Looking at those facts on sort of a scale, if you will, there was nothing for the district court to say, well, the guy that delivered was substantially less culpable than the guy who negotiated. But if you played with those facts, if you added more to the one side, the guy did something beyond the negotiating, or you took away facts from the other side, maybe he just did one, maybe he wasn't going to get money, there was no profit incentive. Maybe there was some unequal relationship, a father-son. Maybe if there was tighter controls on the delivery, they pulled up in a car and he said, I'm going to watch you make this delivery from here to the end of the block, just hand this package off, tightly controlled. Here, one guy negotiates, he trusts the second person to deliver the drugs, not just once, but twice, and also to collect money. There was no money collected on the second time, he was arrested. And so based upon those facts, and also the second thing I would note, that the second thing that's important is that there was no relevant conduct here. The rationale of the minor role adjustment, as this court has held before, and is still, I believe, the rationale, is to offset the harshness of relevant conduct. Here, there was no relevant conduct brought to bear on the defendant. And under these facts, unless there's any other questions, I'll stop here and ask this court to affirm.
Thank you, Mr. Bard. Mr. Willis, is there anything further? How much time does he have? 1 minute?
Some of the facts that the court had at its disposal was the facts in PSI. And the PSI points out that Mr. Cardenas did not organize the transaction. He was never compensated for the transaction. Additionally, it can be inferred that there was some negotiations with the drug prices, and he wasn't involved in any of that. He simply carried drugs on two occasions to be delivered. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Willis. And you were appointed, were you not? So we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client, and thank you also, Mr. Forrest. And the court will be standing in recess.